In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many times we read in the Gospels, according to your faith. What does this mean? We hear it all the time, and we hear wondrous things that happen after the Lord says something like that. In this case, healing two blind men. But what does it mean, faith? And how do we acquire faith? It's a very important question. Well, if you look to the Scriptures, they give lots of explanation about how to acquire faith and what faith is. We've talked about this many times, but it's important to talk about it a lot because the world thinks faith is just believing something. That's not faith. Faith is living according to something. Faith is a change in your heart so that you have God within your heart. With God within your heart, you don't just believe something as in you're pretty sure it is. You live something. As sure as you know that you have hands, that's the way faith is. Absolute certainty because of experience. Now, the epistle that St. Paul wrote to the Romans has much about this kind of faith. So I thought I would talk about this because if we just hear about faith and we think, okay, if I have faith, all these good things can happen to me, but good things are not happening to you and you still feel terrible and you still, you know, are not really happy with your life, what are you going to do? How are you going to get this faith? You get this faith by the things that the Scriptures teaches us about faith. So it starts with Christ. Everything starts with Christ. If we really understand our nature, then we know why it starts with Christ. If we know our purpose, then we know why everything starts with Christ. We were born in order to know God, but we have disease, sin. And we cannot cure this disease. Just like we cannot cure some complex disease, we have to go to a doctor to have that be cured, who has the expertise and the knowledge, the tools to be able to cure us. We don't have that ability. Jesus is the only one who has the ability to cure human nature. And the way he chose to cure human nature is to become human, to live a perfect human life, to transmit the teaching about how to live that life to his apostles, which has now been transmitted through to us, and then to transmit the ability to live that life through baptism and being part of the body of Christ, the church. So that's why everything revolves around Christ. It's all about Christ. So if you cannot have faith without Christ, if you cannot have righteousness without Christ, if you cannot have life without Christ, stands the reason that you should know Christ and emulate him. The things that he does are good for life. The things that he will not do, they're bad for life. They're death. It's pretty easy, really. You emulate Christ. So St. Paul is speaking in this part of the Romans about bearing the infirmities of the weak. But I want to read you from the more like to the end of the epistle because it starts with Christ. He's speaking of Christ throughout all the epistle. But he references him very much towards the end. And he says here that receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So we're emulating Christ. And then he also says, be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. He actually says, may the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. Now, if you understand how the Scripture speaks of things, you'll understand this is not just a wish on his part. He's not just saying, I hope that happens for you. He's saying, this is a commandment. It's a commandment that we be like-minded to one another according to Christ. So how can you be like-minded to one another according to Christ if you do not know the mind of Christ? We must know the mind of Christ. I spoke some yesterday about the services, liturgical services, and living a liturgical life, which we all should be doing. Otherwise, we don't have a life, we have death. And I spoke about how we speak very much about theology, especially in Vespers and in Matins. And the reason we do is because, well, God is the sum of all things. God made all things. The only thing that is beautiful is God. The only life is from God, so it stands to reason we should know God. It's the most important subject that we can study. Now, we don't study the subject of God like we do algebra. We study the subject of God by trying to become like Him, by living according to His grace, by submitting ourselves to Him, by falling down and getting up, by repenting, by loving our brother because he loves everyone, by praying for our enemy because he prayed for his enemies, by emulating him. Now, how do we do this? How do we know how to emulate him? Well, much of it is the Holy Spirit inspires us. But he will not inspire us, he will not teach us unless we're ready to be taught. We've all seen someone that you try to talk to and they just won't listen. You're saying things that are perfectly factual and perfectly rational, but they will not listen. They're not in a state of mind that they can listen. That happens all the time. Well, we must put ourselves in the right state of mind. How do we do it? With the scriptures and with prayer. So St. Paul talks about this. He says that we basically have the scriptures, prayer, and our actions. And he speaks about both of those things. So what are the actions? He starts this selection that we're reading today by talking about we that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Do you know that's completely against 99.999% of the animal kingdom? The strong don't bear the infirmities of the weak. The strong take over the weak in the animal kingdom, with some exceptions, but not many. And they're very rare exceptions. The strong take over the weak. But we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Why? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He bore our infirmities. And he came to earth, became a man, not to please himself, but to please us. And that is not to please us like you get have fun at Disneyland or having an ice cream cone, but to please us into helping us to become whole. Now, you might say, I'm not strong. I don't have a very good prayer rule. You know, I'm kind of lazy. I've got this problem and that problem. All right, so you do. So what? You don't think you're stronger than somebody? I think you are. You're always stronger than somebody. And you're weaker than somebody. The strong will help you, but you must help the weak. Don't ever think you're not strong enough to help somebody. I mean, you can at least help someone by prayer. You can help someone with a kind word. You don't have to be as wise as Solomon to be able to pray on a rock like St. Seraphim for 1,000 days and nights in order to help someone, because you should have a heart that's open to people, and then you see you can help them. It's very important. But we get that heart from becoming like Christ, by emulating Christ. And as we emulate Christ more, as we bear the infirmities of the weak more, as we have more compassion for people and help them in whatever way we are able to, God sees our heart opening and he fills it with himself. Now there's another thing that he says. He says not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So we're not to try to please ourselves. We're trying to please our neighbor for edification. Now, the world wants to please other people, but they please in a way that is deadly, to give people what they want, not what they need, or to give people something so that there'll be sort of a quid pro quo, and that's not correct either. We must please our neighbor, in other words, build him up. We must help him and build him up, because that's exactly what Christ did. So those are the actions that St. Paul talks about. Those are the things that will build your faith. But what if you don't know exactly how to do them? They're complicated things. You can talk about them, but it's hard to do them. Because in real time, stuff's coming at us fast. And our passions are saying one thing, and our will is saying another. And sometimes the passions win because they're so fast and so hard. And because we're addicted to some of them. So what are you going to do? Well, you have to train yourself. You have to train yourself. How do you train yourself? You train yourself with the scriptures and with prayer. That's how you train yourself. That's why it's so important. That's why I talk so much about prayer, the Jesus prayer especially, and I talk so much about reading the scriptures. It's terrible that we don't read the scriptures very much as a people. Most of us don't. We don't read the scriptures. And that is very bad for you. You must develop that habit. Now, Maybe you're terrible at reading the scriptures. Well, how about being a little bit less terrible today? How about reading something? How about reading something tomorrow? Maybe you can't read a chapter or something, but maybe you can read a little bit and do a little bit more. And then you will become better at reading the scriptures. What does he say about this? He says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Have you ever thought of the scriptures as giving you patience and comfort? Most people think of the scriptures as difficult, hard to read, hard to understand, and maybe even a little boring. The scriptures give you comfort and patience. Why? Because they change the way you think. Now, you can watch a TV show, and, well, I sure hope it doesn't change the way you think, because the mass majority of TV shows are about thinking the wrong way. But that's sort of a passive interaction. And even reading a novel or something is more of a passive interaction. But when you're reading the scriptures, there is prayer involved with reading the scriptures, or there better be. And then that's not a passive interaction at all. That's a very active relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, who is enlightening you as you are reading the scriptures. And you're learning about patience, and you're learning about how to be comforted, because the scriptures talk about these things all the time. Constantly, the gospel is full of comfort, and it's full of ways to learn to be patient. It's full of examples of the patient and examples of the impatient, and the results of patience and the results of impatience. So we must learn patience from the good examples, the bad examples, but really not just examples. The scriptures are just unspeakably beautiful. So we read them, and life out there, I find it very difficult. I don't know about you guys. I find so much of life very hard. Every day I hear about terrible things. Not just terrible things in the news, like terrible murders, mass murders, two of which occurred yesterday, one in our state. Not just those things. Those things are happening so often. But on a personal basis, I encounter people. And they're having a hard time. Maybe they're having a hard time because they caused it themselves, or maybe they had a hard time because other people are doing it, or because of poverty, because of sickness. It doesn't really matter to me what the reason for their hard time is. It's hard to see people suffering. And it's hard for me that I don't have that much to give them. I give them my prayer. Sometimes I give them something that I can say to them, kindness to them, attention to them. But I don't have much. And none of us have much. But the scriptures have everything. And so when I read the scriptures, I see the real way of thinking. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, there's a sort of funny way people talk about, like, if they want to have a night where they go out drinking or something, and they say, we'll have an attitude adjustment, right? Well, the scriptures are a real attitude adjustment with the real wine, the wine of Jesus Christ. Because you're continually modifying the way you think, the way you interact with the world. The only way of life is in the scriptures. Everything else is death. Everything. It's really binary. The things from God are life. The things not from God are death. So the scriptures talks about the way of life. And the more we read about this way of life, the more we try out this way of life, sometimes it takes a little courage to do so. Sometimes it takes a little effort to do so. But the more we do those things, the more the life comes into us. And we have this deep consolation, this deep comfort. That's how we have faith. Because if you don't have faith by wishing it to be so, it won't happen. You can't wish faith upon yourself. You can't make yourself believe something. What you can do is you can experience something and agree with that experience. So loving your neighbor, and you can feel the grace of God come in you from that love of your neighbor. And even when your neighbor's hurting you and whatever else is happening externally to you, you feel God in you. And that consolation is beyond any other consolation in the world. And when you feel that consolation, then you just increase. That's how we have faith. That's how we increase our faith. It's really very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. So again, I'm encouraging you again to read the scriptures. I pretty much do it every single time I preach. I think it's critically important. Doesn't matter if you're good at it. Doesn't matter at all. I mean, we have babies here. They're saying things sometimes that make no sense whatsoever, right? They're not very good at talking yet. And yet they're going to continue doing it. And they're going to be talking like crazy in a year or two, right? They have no idea that they're not good at talking. They're just doing it. Well, why don't we be like babies? Why don't we read the scriptures, struggle to understand them, apply whatever intellect we can to them, but also beg God to help us to learn to be patient in reading about the scriptures, to learn about, to be comforted, to learn about goodness in the scriptures and charity in the scriptures and purity in the scriptures. And then we have hope. Now you do know what hope is, right? Hope is something also a lot like faith. Hope comes from experience. Hope is waiting for something that you know is going to happen. It's not wishing for something. It's not, our language kind of has hope equals wish. It's not true. Scripturally, hope is to be waiting for something that you know is going to be happening. And to yearn for that thing, to desire that thing. And the wonderful thing about the comfort of the scriptures is you're never fully comforted. You're comforted more than the world can comfort you in any way, but you're never fully comforted because the full comfort will come in the next age. So although we have comfort of feeling God within us and seeing things happen in our life and other people's lives, we are not fully comforted. So we're always hoping for more because we know there will be more. That's how you have faith. It's as simple as that. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.